according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours this and every day from the triune God. Amen. I plan to preach sometime in the future about an important resolution passed at this summer's churchwide assembly. And while the Spirit kept bringing me to that this week, I thought it had nothing to do with what was going on in our world today. But maybe the Spirit is right. Maybe it is appropriate to do. The resolution passed centered on something that most of us didn't even know was a problem because, well, it's the way things have always been done, and isn't that how the church runs? But it is a division that happened in the church in the 6th century. Yes, you heard me right. That long ago. It was one word. I mean, in English, it's three words. But it caused people to go to war. Because words can do that. Three English words, one Latin word, was all it took. The word in Latin is filioque. In English, it is "and the Son." It's part of the third article of the Creed. So you may wonder, like, really? What's the big deal? Well, in 325 Common Era, which is, if you think about it, 1700 years ago this year, the church has a celebration, leaders of what would have been at the time considered the world church gathered in Nicaea to create a document for all Christian churches to use as their statement of faith. Church leaders felt, and I think it was a good idea, to have this common core belief so that all churches are proclaiming basically the same understanding of who God is. Because if you have this person saying this and this, and it gets too confusing. And in 385, they gathered again, this time in Constantinople, to formalize the doctrine of the third article, the one we know as the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know why they had to gather again, ask me at a different time. But they all came together and they said, "Yep, this is what we believe." And I say it's written in stone, but it was not on stone, it was on paper. And almost 1700 years from that day, we're still proclaiming the same thing. And well, not exactly what was agreed upon. The words, remember those three words, the words that were agreed upon was this, and this is the first sentence of the third article. "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets." Well, by the 1800s, not 800s, Common Era, some Latin churches began to add "and the Son" to the creed, where it wasn't before. And by about 1015, Rome took it upon themselves to officially add it to the creed as part of the worship service, but the Eastern Church was having nothing to do with it. I mean, they all agreed what the common understanding was in 300s. Everything was worked out. I mean, who has the right to just change the way things have always been done? That little word, or three English words, is actually the foundation of what caused what's called the Great Schism in 1054, where the Eastern and the Western Christian churches split. And even today, we have the Roman Catholic Church that started there that we all split off of, and the Eastern or the Orthodox Church. You may be saying, really? Over a simple phrase like, and the Son? I mean, give me a break. I think of those here who will ask, well, why are we changing it? Because people get worked up if something simple becomes change. And it can divide churches and countries. Look at the world today. Look at our country and the Great Schism that has been happening over the last, say, 20 years. The words that people say can divide. Oh, but that's the truth that I was speaking. Doesn't make the words acceptable. We become a nation that feels that people can say whatever they want. They stand behind the First Amendment that allows for free speech, but even there, we have changed what that was originated for. But we use it to protect us so that we can say anything we want. And if it hurts somebody, oh well, we can deal with it. But Christians should be bigger than saying things to others that hurt them. And for those of us lucky enough to have learned, or have memorized, Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments, we should understand the importance of words. The explanation to the Eighth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does it mean? It's in here. We are to fear and love God, so that we do not deceive by lying, betraying, slandering, or ruining our neighbor's reputation. But, and hold on to this, defend them, say good things about them, and see the best side in everything they do. Well, how does that work in our country today? Words matter. We've seen the result of our words again this week. Are you surprised it's happened again? If you say, yes, you're surprised, then I wonder if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the world. And if you say, no, I'm not surprised at all, then where are your words? Where are your actions? What are you doing to say, to support the good things, and to see the best sides in those we have come to hate? Because, my brothers and sisters, there is something good in everyone. My stepson used to get really annoyed with me when we would be talking about someone, and I would find something good to say about that person, and he would reply, can't I just hate somebody for a little while? I mean, I'm in a bad mood. Yeah, I get it. But it doesn't solve the problem. Some Lutherans are trying their best to come to the table and to come to terms with words. that have hurt for a very long time. In 1999, the Lutherans, the ELCA Lutherans, and the larger Lutheran World Federation came to the table with the Roman Catholics and signed a document agreeing not just to put aside the weapons of war, and physical weapons used in the early days, but to agree on Luther's words that it is all about faith and grace. It's not about indulgences. Does that bring back all of the people who have died fighting over who is right and who is wrong? No. But it's a start at healing 500 years of hurtful words. And in our church-wide assembly this year, we came to the table with the Orthodox Church to agree that 1,000 years is way too long to fight over the word filioque. We agreed that if we are in the Orthodox saying, we will try our best not to say "and the Son." And when they are in our setting, they will try to say "and the Son." But we also agreed that we're going to make mistakes, but we're not going to fight over it anymore. We're not going to war again. Because, yeah, words matter. And forgiveness matters, and moving forward matters. But war? But shootings on both sides? We gathered around the baptismal font to welcome Josie through the waters of baptism, a place where we are all washed again and again for the lies and the hatred that we not only agree with, but we begin to repeat and believe it is true. Because the most people are evil, or they're radical terrorists, or they are killing our people, or they really don't matter anyways, because they're not like us. Julie will watch closely as she grows what it means to be a Christian. She will look to those around her. She will learn all she needs to about other people by how we talk about them, how we treat them. Because words matter. And while words can make the world or our country a hate-filled place, words can be used to forgive and accept and to bring people together under one God who loves us and them. One God died on a cross because of what others said about him. The one God who cries out at how we treat each other and begs for us to stop, to put down the words and weapons of war. To see we all have something in common as children of God. I don't know how long we will be where we are today, where political violence is something to expect every couple months, and hateful words are spewed with no second thought given. But I don't think we can wait 500 years or 1,000 years to come to the table and make things right. For the sake of Jovi, for the sake of our children in our lives, and for the sake of the world, God's world, we need to do it now. Amen.